Welcome to Discipline Win, a podcast on how to win and discipline both within ourselves and when helping others. Make sure to check out my other episodes focusing on self-development, school discipline, and inclusive practices. Learn more at AndyJax.com, including free resources and more about my book, Discipline Win. I'm super excited about this episode. It includes a fascinating story by a school leader, extraordinaire, awesome guy, a man of the woods, a man of the world, Brian Miller. It includes a trek through the wilderness, overcoming the mind, and a reflection on what that means for discipline. So welcome, Brian. Welcome to the show.
Man, thank you. I'm thrilled to be here. Thrilled to finally be hanging out with you for a while. This is awesome.
Yeah, no doubt, man. We've been going back and forth and been friends for a long time, but just this idea of putting it on video, or in this case, on audio, is so cool, man. And if this is an audio thing, so for all you listeners out there, Brian is sitting in a natural habitat outside, like he always does in his videos. If you haven't seen his videos, he's putting a video, I think, out every day at this point. The last video included a baby. And, you know, you got bonus points for babies in videos. So,
man, I will never do that again. She took all the attention. I'm done with that.
Yeah. Now you're going to have a baby in every video. That's the problem, you know?
Right.
The other thing is, Brian is rocking his flannel shirt and Top Gun Maverick glasses. He looks like a stud. I'll tell you what. So, I'm over here wearing my Johnny Cash t-shirt. And by the way, for all you listeners, try Googling or putting an Alexa and saying oldies, play oldies. Brian, if we say play oldies, what do you think will come up?
Yeah, I'm thinking like 60s, 70s, maybe early 80s, but mostly it's Johnny Cash, that sort of era. But I'm assuming it's going to be now the 90s.
I know that we put oldies and it was like 70s and 80s music came on. I was like, no, I mean like 50s. 50s music is what I mean. And that just tells you, man, we're getting up there now.
Yeah.
So
go ahead.
Let's get into it, man. So tell us about yourself, Brian.
So this is my second year as an elementary principal in Great Falls, Montana, Chief Joseph Elementary. Go Eagles. And this is my sixth year in leadership. I was a principal for a high school in small town Montana for a while. And then I was a teacher principal in an international school in China for a while, taught in rural Wyoming, kind of got my roots in inner city Philadelphia. So this kind of been in a lot of different places, but I'm passionate about education and I'm also a little bit concerned about education. So that's, I think, a good topic of discipline today is chatting about the discipline of leaders, of educators, in this fantastic profession.
Yeah, man, I like how you said that you're concerned about education. So am I. That's why I'm passionate about doing what I do, trying to get more professional learning out there, more reflection and insight into some of these tough topics. And when I speak about discipline, I'm acknowledging the fact that it is probably one of the hardest topics on school and education right now. I think people pick all these easy things, and I'm not going to mention any particular subject because I don't want to hurt people's feelings, but I think some of those are easier. I think when you get into discipline, it's hard because it's life stuff. It's not just school stuff. It's life stuff. And so I'm going to start with that question. I'm going to ask everyone from now on, which is, what does discipline mean to you? And I'm going to say right now, because it could mean different things at different points in your life. What is it, discipline? The word discipline, what does that mean to you right now?
To me, it is tightly woven into integrity, but it's the discipline to be where I'm at. So our theme this year, we chose to say be present, because there's so much stuff and we're still on the tail end of COVID and the politics is still front and center and our economy is struggling. And so if you're thinking about a recession, teachers oftentimes get hit the most because we're middle class, at least, if not a lower middle class. And so the recession is destroying us. And so there's so many exterior things that are causing us to lose focus, that are pulling our attention, that are enticing us to do other things. And so to me, discipline, and that's even why I started this video, those daily videos, is because I wanted to be intentionally present daily, to have a discipline daily to what's going on around me, what are some stories that I can capture, what's a truth that I can glean from today, and then I want to synthesize it in a 1 to 3 minute video. I want to be disciplined to be present.
Man, I'm writing notes. This is great. I love the fact you said discipline daily, and an idea that I quoted you here, discipline to be where I'm at, that presence, that being present. I think, you know, there's this idea too that there's so many things going on in this world. We're flooded by information, and the information overload actually causes a scarcity in focus. You know, it's a weird sort of dynamic of the more that's coming at us, the harder it is to stay focused and be where we're at, just like you're talking about, right?
Yeah. And that's even like my wife and I were chatting this morning. We've got five kiddos ranging from 15 to one. And I find myself having a hard time recently in the last couple of months, if not year, to truly be engaged with my kids and my wife, because every time we sit down, every time I have a moment to sit, I'm thinking about the external, I'm thinking about past events, I'm thinking about future worries. And I'm trying to really work on being disciplined of, yeah, but you're right here. You've got a kiddo on your lap right now. Your 15-year-old's coming up the stairs. Let's engage with them. Whatever those things are, we can deal with them when appropriate.
Right. I'm sure so many people can relate to that. I know I can, especially as a family man, but just in general. Yeah. I mean, first of all, it's not your fault. I mean, that's life in some ways as a dad, right? As a mom, but it's also the fact that we have the stuff coming at us at all angles, you know, from phones to emails to everything else. I mean, I have a work phone, a personal phone, five different email accounts, like, right. We have social media. So you talk about being where you're at. I think part of it is having the discipline to know when and not to sort of engage in those different platforms, right?
Yep.
So talk to me, man. We have, we talk about discipline. I know that when we started talking, we talked about this sort of trek out there that you took and this idea of sort of self, discipline, overcoming the mind. But one thing I keep getting back to is, this idea of discipline has to mean one thing or another, and that there's so much nuance within discipline. We either look at two different things with discipline. We either look at the old school teacher with the ruler slapping your wrists, if you come out of line or something like that, especially if you grew up in like a private school, like a Catholic school or something, you may have had the nuns coming at you. But, or we go to the other opposite extreme and we have like The Rock with like motivational like videos of waking up at 3 a.m. And unless you wake up at 2 a.m, no, now it's going to be 1 a.m. No, now I'm never going to sleep, and it's like this idea that discipline has to be this like uber, like hardcore, get up early, never, sleep and be focused. It's not really that either. There's so much nuance and it's individualized. So talk to me about that story. What's going on with that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So and this might just kind of, I might just go for a while on this, but here's what happened over the summer. I have a buddy from high school. He wanted to go on this backpacking trip in the Sawtooth Mountains of Idaho. And he was going to bring some other buddies of his and a brother-in-law. And him and I, we hadn't seen each other for a couple of years. We used to kind of do these adventures together. So my wife was like, you got to do this. You got to go. So we arrive in Sawtooth. So even before that, I got to backtrack 15 years, because 15 years, him and I went on a backpacking trip together in Colorado. And, if your viewers can't see, I am a fair skinned, redheaded, man. And so the sun and I do not agree, but he is like this Greek goddess of a guy that the sun just turns him like this bronze. Right. And so we show up in Colorado and we go backpacking for about 7 days. And I didn't bring sunscreen and I thought it was intelligent to wear a cutoff. And so by day three, literally I have blisters from my wrists to my shoulders, all over my face. I am just torched, absolutely burnt. By the end of the trip, these blisters are popping and I've got pus coming everywhere. It's like this horrific experience. So we are now, this last summer, we're going to go backpacking again. And I'm just terrified of making a fool of myself again, right? So I'm trying to do all the things in preparation, but life gets in the way, so I don't actually do any sort of training. And I show up and his dad is there. He's already like working out like pre-trail. He literally brought a gym and he's working out before the trail and all these guys have shown up. And I'm terrified that I'm going to be another mockery of a story. And so it's the day of, we're getting ready to go, and I'm putting on sunscreen, and his brother-in-law, whom I've never met, said, oh, I've heard that story. And that phrase stuck in my head of, he's heard that story. And right. And so I'm like, I am just not going to be that story. So as we're hiking, I'm saying, don't be that story. Don't be that story. And I didn't like that because I wanted to be more of the action driven, right? The positive. So then it turned into be the story. So I got it in my head of, I am not going to be the last man in line. I am not going to falter. I'm just going to take each step. I'm not going to let my pain get in the way. And I just have this drive to be the story, right? When this is over, I want them to be saying like, man, Midler killed it. And so anytime there was anything. If he wanted to run down the mountain, my legs are killing me, my lungs are killing me, I'm going to run down the mountain because I'm going to be part of the story. He wants to go summit that hill, that mountain over there, let's go summit that mountain. You want to jump in mountain lakes, I'll jump in mountain lakes. I'm going to be the story. And so that was like the genesis of this kind of discipline concept of, whatever the task is in front of you, you don't have to worry about, 2 or 3 days ahead. Sometimes it's just the next step. I'm going to take the next step and I'm going to take it with intentionality, and I'm going to not allow my mind or my muscles impact my decision-making, because the next decision that's best is to make that next step and to say sometimes yes to, man, you want to go do something? I'm there. Doesn't matter how I feel, I'm going to do it. And so that was kind of the genesis of be the story. And so then from there, I didn't like that because it seemed very selfish, right? It's all about me, right? And so if it's all about me, all I'm thinking about is me. And on the way up to kind of prep my mind, I listened to David Goggins' You Can't Hurt Me. Have you ever listened to that or read that?
Yeah, if you haven't listened to that one, or I did an audiobook of that one. Oh man. So David Goggins hardcore. He has his own videos too, hardcore, where he runs. And just a little shout out to David Goggins, but also if you're listening, make sure that you be careful what you're watching around your kids, because he swears a lot.
Yeah. He's old school. Yeah, exactly right. So he kind of like that, he fits that mentality of like overcome, right?
Yep.
But the only thing I didn't like about it when I listened to it, because I was fully inspired and I was jacked up and I was, don't let your body dictate what you do. I found myself thinking, where is David Goggins' story of serving somebody?
Mm.
Right? Where's David Goggins? Where's somebody coming? Like, he's inspiring the heck out of a ton of people. But where is somebody saying, like, you know, David Goggins was running this race and I was on the side of the race, and he stopped, and instead of finishing it, he helped me, right? I was just kind of like, I'm sure that they happened, but I didn't ever hear it. And so that grew this new mentality of sometimes to be the story is to be the story for somebody else's bigger story, right? And that's, I think, at the heart of education, is we are often, that's what we're always doing. And we don't often see the manifestation of all the impacts that we have, because kids graduate, they go into jobs, and they keep doing their other things. But that became a new sort of mantra of this school year. Yeah, overcome, right? Don't let the frustration of the pandemic or the frustration of politics or whatever impact what you're doing. Be the story of success, overcome. But also be very mindful that somebody else needs you to be their story, needs you to be the impact in their story so that they can go do great things. And so that when they stand on the pulpit of, you know, metaphorical or literal, they can look back and say, man, this guy, he's the reason why I'm here. And that's another part of like this discipline of being mindful, being present and mindful enough of who needs my help, who needs my support, where can I step in, where can I be somebody else's story?
Yeah, man, I love that. The overcoming, not just for yourself, but overcoming to help others, right? Overcoming.
Yeah.
And it's not like one of those things where you see someone's problem and you help fix them, right? You don't even mean it that way. It's more like, how can you help support them? How can you help them feel good at the end of the day? You know, I love the piece about school culture. There's such a connection here to school culture because, you know, one of the things I think about for school culture is if you can create this dynamic in your building where people are accomplishing things and they have the green light to do things and they feel better about, look, this is the kind of educator I am. And they could post this to their family and to their friends. Look what I did this week. Look what I did today. I think that's such a powerful thing, a gift that you can give them that they can never get anywhere else. It's worth more than money. It's worth more than, you know, than all the other things, because them being able to feel proud about the work they're doing is that transcends everything.
Yeah. So even to kind of, I'll give two little side stories to kind of, I think, maybe prove the power of this idea. Several years ago, we were at a drive-in theater in Colorado, and I'd never been to one, so I didn't know the culture of a drive-in. I didn't know you were supposed to bring like footballs and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm just kind of sitting there waiting with my kiddos, and I look over and I see a pickup pull in of four high school kids, and they're sitting in the back of their pickup. And, you know, I'm just thinking all the thoughts of what high school kids are going to do, but they get out of this pickup and they kind of just hanging out. They start throwing a football. And before I know it, they are inviting all these little kids around, right? And I actually showed this to my, when I was a high school principal, I showed it to my high school kids then, saying, you know, they're high school kids. They're just having a fun, right? They're just doing whatever. They're just playing football with these kiddos. But for the next 15 to 20 years, when those little kids talk about the drive-in theater, what do you think they're going to talk about? They're not going to talk about the movie. They're going to talk about the time they were there and they played football with a bunch of high schoolers. That was their most meaningful moment. And that's what it means, right? Like you said, it's not always stepping into somebody when they're in crisis. Sometimes it's just giving, like, you have an opportunity, you have a gift, you have a talent, and it's just being aware that you can bless somebody and just giving it away freely, rather than, you know, those kiddos showing up and saying, well, we just want to be here. We don't want to be bothered by little kiddos. We want to be left alone. No, they saw outside themselves and created a moment for somebody else. And I loved that. But to your point about school culture, embody or empowering people, I had an aide the other day. She came up to me and she's like, hey, can we just celebrate kids once a month, like create a table for them and they can celebrate their birthdays? And I just said yes, right? I was running somewhere. I'm like, yeah, go ahead. And then it shows up the next day and she's decorated this table. She's got like flowers, she's got little cakes, she's got little gifts, and there's like half a dozen kids sitting there because it's their birthday month. And it was, they loved it. They loved it. I threw it on a Facebook post for like a principal website, and it blew up. And I loved that. And I even went to her and her shoulder and I said, look, at your idea just inspired over 1,000 people to do something similar. That's a big deal. That's awesome. So even just her being able to think of somebody else is now the story for so many other people.
And what's her name? That. What's her name?
Her name is Brittany Blower.
Nice. So Brittany just crushed it. And I think you're totally right. I think this idea that if you're doing something that matters, it matters to kids, it matters to you, and it gives you a lot of motivation to keep doing it. So sometimes we think discipline is like you have to be disciplined to do something. Sometimes the other way around. Sometimes you get disciplined through doing things that you really care about, that motivate you, that matter, right? Yeah. There's a great quote Tom Kite said, that discipline is just a matter of being interested. You know, it's like if you're interested and motivated by something, then you'll do it more often. And I think we give people too much of a hard time with things, especially if it's like, I can't, you know, work out as much as I want to, or I can't, you know, eat right or do whatever. I can't read enough or all these different things. Part of it is it's not about doing things you don't want to do. That's one version of discipline, which I don't necessarily agree with. I think that's doing things that you really love doing over and over and over and over again until it becomes who you are. Man. It's a ritual. It's a passion. That routine becomes more important than just part of your life. It becomes who you are as a person. And I think that's where you get that discipline. Then people look at you differently and say, man, look at that person. Look how disciplined they are. And they have no idea. It's because you're just really passionate about it.
Sure. Oh, man, you're like blowing up my world right now with this, because I was raised in a culture of literally being told, if you don't want to do it, that means you probably should do it. Right. Because that is discipline. But I love that idea of, no, because it matters to you, be disciplined in being able to not get distracted by all this noise of people saying, no, you should be reading more. You should be running more. You should be. Yeah, probably that's true for some people, if not all of us. But the discipline of saying, you know what, my passion right now is to go do this thing, and I'm going to invest in that, and I'm not going to let the outside distractions pull me away from that. Oh, man, Andy, that's great. I love that.
Yeah, man. And I think, you know, again, I think if you look at those things that you're doing, you're having a hard time doing them, maybe you shouldn't be doing them.
Right.
Maybe you should be doing something else.
Yeah. Yeah. Find the person whose passion is those things and let them do them.
Yes. Yes. And like, even in your own life, let's say you can't get on that treadmill, right? And I'm going to go real practical for a moment for people, because it's not always about school, but it's about life too. Like, say you can't get on that treadmill. You just hate that treadmill. So you do it anyways, because that's what you think discipline is. And that's what you need.
Sure.
What if you need to do something else? What if you need to go hiking? What if you need to hit the weights? What if you need to play basketball or do anything? Sure. Literally, there's so many different versions of what you can do now, besides just that one thing that you think you have to do to overcome whatever that obstacle is. Right. So sometimes it's sort of hunting around to find that passion. And in school, connecting that, I think, you know, one of the coolest things, like you did with Brittany, is making sure that you're aligning people's passions with the work. And if you can make that happen on a more regular basis, then people don't have to do all these different things. They hit their niche, right? Their little niche area, and they slam dunk with that. And the more of those slam dunks you have around the school, then people look at your school and look at your culture and think, man, how did he get so many people so disciplined to do all this work? And they, from the outside, have no idea. That's really not about that, because Brittany may not do other things, but she kills this thing, right? And that's okay. That's how life is, right? And I think that's what's so important for all of us, and us too as leaders. I think that's the same thing.
No, I fully agree. And I think even as leaders, I wonder how you would feel about this. Anytime I go to a conference or I listen to a podcast, such as yourself, or just even sit in a room full of my fellow educators, I so quickly can think less of myself because I'm not doing what these other principals and these other leaders are doing. And I'm not seeing the you know, I see them posting on their social media sites. They're doing this fantastic thing. And I'm like, man, I'm not doing that. But that's part of the discipline too, of being able to cut off that thought and saying, no, don't destroy yourself. Don't ruin your day. Don't actually go pursue these things that I'm not naturally good at, because then I'm just going to feel crappy at the end of the day because I'm not doing it well, right? But what I do well, I need to embrace that, pursue that, and allow others to do what they do well around me. And then, like you say, before we know it, we're doing this great and amazing things in our schools. And really, all it's because we're just allowing our passions to be disciplined and showing and shining. Man, Andy, I'm all in on that, man. That's great.
Yeah, man. And like you said about people listening to people, we have to be so careful with what we allow to come into our brains. And yeah, if those things that you're listening to and you're watching, if they motivate you to be better, that's perfect. That's great. Yeah. But if it starts tearing you down, you have to look at it a couple of different ways. One is, it could just be an internal viewpoint that you have to switch. Right. So it's not the other person's fault. I mean, you can't control what they do. All you can control is what you do. Or you may need to shut it off, frankly, right? You may need to come back to it. You know, I think sometimes it's like we need to be listening to motivational things all the time. Well, not really. I mean, I think we take it when we can, and when we can't, we do other things, right? You know, but ultimately it's like, how do we use that to then reflect on how we can grow, not how we can beat ourselves up.
Yeah. And I think to add to that, I think that's the component of discipline as well, is because I think just because I enjoy something, like I love writing, but there are days where I don't love writing. And if I keep saying, well, I don't feel like it today, and I put it on the shelf, then I actually never grow as a writer. So it's not like this, and I don't think you're saying this, it's not like this, just because it doesn't feel right, you don't do it. But it is the ability to find out, here's what I enjoy, here's what I'm passionate about. There's going to be struggles, but I believe in it because I've seen its produce. Or I've seen when I can do it well, like the consequences of that and how I can grow people. Discipline isn't always doing what we love. It is going through hard things, but it's back to what you said earlier. It's, what's the purpose of this though? Is my purpose because I feel like this is going to be a great Facebook post? Or am I doing this because I feel like this is what everyone has told me is the right thing to do? Or do I deep down believe, no, this is the right thing to do. This is my passion. This is my integrity. And so therefore I'm going to continue on doing it.
Yeah, man, I love that purpose, that meaning behind it, because like you said, I think there's too many times we do it for the wrong reasons. We do things because, especially now, that's the problem with social media. You do things because of, you know, you want to look good out there. Now, I would challenge that a little bit in the sense that sometimes social media has helped me be a better person and a better leader in schools because it holds me accountable. I think you're right. And I'm glad you said that, because I'm definitely not one to say, you know, don't do the hard work or don't do things that you don't want to do, because that's you know, that's always about life and trying to push through. But accountability is not a four-letter word. Accountability is a good thing for you, you know, and for yourself. Yeah. I think we should have so much more self-accountability than accountability towards others, you know. Yeah. And social media for me, it did two things to help me as a school leader. One, it helped me go look for good things. It helped me be a better frame of mind, because when I had to go look for teachers doing great work, guess what? I found it every single time. If I went every single day at my school and looked for good things, I would find it every single time. But I can tell you, if I didn't look for good things as a school leader, bad things or negative things or problems come
to you all the time.
So social media helped me be way more proactive at seeing the good in others. And it changed my viewpoint, how I treated them. It really did. It was a very reflective kind of situation for me. The other thing it did for me was it forced me to do sort of better things, because I had this sort of rule in my head, is if it wasn't good enough for social media, maybe I wasn't doing enough. Like, so if I had nothing good to post today, maybe it's because I was doing the grind behind the scenes, which is good too. Or maybe it's because I didn't do enough. Maybe I didn't do good stuff. And I really sort of like just did busy work, when really I could have been meeting with a kid or helping a teacher or delivering supplies or something. Yeah. Right. So I think it's in a way, and people may not realize it when they look at my social media posts or yours or anybody else, that for me, it's way more reflective tool than people realize.
Yeah, no, that's great. And so you mentioned a little bit ago that I do these little videos, and that is the exact reason why I'm doing them. And I actually told my staff, because I don't know how you feel, but I get self-conscious, right, of posting anything. And so at our opening staff meeting, I said, listen, I'm on social media. I do these different things. And the phrase that I used was, I do it for me, but it's not about me. But I do it for me because of what you just said. If I have this thought throughout the day, or if I have this connection, I want to be able to refine it in such a way that I'm comfortable posting it on social media. Because if I'm not, I can be content with just kind of letting the thought go, or letting the analysis kind of go fairly mediocre. But if I have to refine it in such a way to post it on social media, I really have to work through the details to find the true nugget of truth that I can put in my back pocket and walk away with. I think social media, it's dangerous, but I love what you just said, that it can also be an accountability tool. That's great. I love that.
Yeah. Or not, right? It's like, or not. And I think that's, again, goes back to your purpose and your motivation. And I'm the first one to say, I have no problem putting selfies up. I think every once in a while you'll hear sort of a hard time. Someone will give you about a selfie or something, but I have like a 90-10 rule. I have like 90% of what I put out there is about other people. 10% is about what I do, especially for my Twitter account for school and all that. It is 90% is I'm just trying to, you know, pictures of other people, picture of the work, retweeting, teachers doing great stuff. That's something I'm always sort of careful about, because, you know, it goes back to like, if you're trying to promote the work of others, you're usually in the right place.
Sure. Sure. And it's probably better ideas than what I can come up with anyways.
Oh yeah. For sure. And if you can go, and I'll tell you what, that's one challenge I'll have for people listening is if you're not actively every single day looking and trying to promote something positive in your building, then you're not working hard enough. That's one discipline aspect of things that we should be way more self-accountable for. We are the head cheerleader of our school. We have to make sure that we are putting awesome things out there. And people may say it's like positive propaganda. In a way, yeah, you're right, it is. But it's very truthful, though. There's no lies.
It's purposeful.
Yeah,
it's purposeful. And it's, go ahead.
No, go for it.
I think it's important too, because we're kind of back to what we said in the very beginning, because education is just getting beat up right now. Education as a whole, and our teachers specifically. And so if we're not going to sit here and post on our social media sites for the community around us, but also for our teachers, the positives of what's going on, that negative narrative is so easy to just kind of take over mainstream. And so I'm all in with you of like, I need to promote my school, I need to promote my teachers, but I also just want to be a voice for education of like, guys, we are doing great things. We are working hard. We're changing the world. We're struggling, man. The trenches are deep and the battle is real. But we are still here. We're still smiling. We're still loving on kids. And I feel like in many ways, that's the message I feel convicted to share this year is don't give up on education. I feel like many people are, but don't give up on it. We're trying to find a way to survive and to do great things.
Yeah, absolutely. Education is the thing that changes society for good. Without a positive and, you know, effective public education system, there's no country in this world that's going to be successful. And we do have power to change the world. And what I mean by change, people sometimes think it's like that progressive mindset that we're just going to be like progressive and change culturally, whatever. No, I think we just have the power to make people better people. That's that simple. You know, to whatever that, to extent that is, to be kinder, to be more empathetic, to be more thoughtful of others, to be more supportive of each other. I think that's a big piece that we're, you know, big picture in education we're meant to do. And right now we're getting beat up on all sides. I think it's one of those things that, you know, instead of shrinking in the corner in like the fetal position, you know, it's like, I think we need to stand up tall, like a, you know, freaking lion, you know, like man, we know what we're doing. This is our work. We're the professionals. Like, I don't think anyone else went to school as long as we did and trained as hard as we did. We're like Rocky and Rocky IV, who's in the barn lifting tires and rope and chains coming out against Ivan Drago. That's who we are in education. We're the underdog, but you know what? We're going to thrive and we're going to be successful, you know, past all of this nonsense that we're in right now. And I think if we had that kind of attitude, that kind of swagger, I think it sort of wins the day, because I think people follow leaders. And we keep talking about leadership in schools, but there's leadership outside of school. And the more that we're leaders, the more people are going to follow. So it's time for us to be leaders and step up.
Rocky won over. He fought in, what was it, Soviet Union at the time? And he won over the crowd through his discipline and through his passion, man. By the end of it, they are chanting Rocky. And if that's not an analogy for education right now, I don't know what is, man. That's beautiful.
That's right. Never give up. That's what it is.
That's great. So let me ask you this. I'm going to switch the script on you. How do you define discipline?
Oh man, it probably changes every day.
Sure.
No,
sure.
I mean, there's so many elements of it. There's so many elements. I think if you're talking about self-discipline, I think it goes back to that. I think it's finding things that you're really passionate about and going all in. I love your idea about being present and being in the moment. I think more than ever right now, I think this idea of social media and media in general, it's changed the nuance of what discipline means and how to stay focused. Yeah. I think it's a new version of things that we're gonna have to really think about, especially with our kids. I worry about that a lot with our kids because, you know, they're growing up in an era that no one in the history of the world has grown up in with this amount of media coming at them. And their brain synapses and emotions are going to be very much aligned with how this media is presented. So I think we're going to have to really think about the discipline of focus and the discipline of deciding kind of what you want to do and what you don't want to do. And the fact that you don't have to like keep up with the Joneses and think that happiness is tied to some of these external things that are out there. I think that is a new version of discipline I'm very interested in. But when it comes to discipline, one of the reasons I focus on discipline is because I don't have this like the discipline means X. I went into discipline and thinking more about discipline because I had this more open-ended idea of what does it mean? Why can't we exclude kids more? Why can't we just do this more? And what I realized is that sort of ignorance piece of it is that, man, I still have a lot to learn, which is why I do podcast episodes like this, where I'm trying to learn from others and help me grow on my journey on, you know, leadership and discipline as well. But ultimately that idea that you never give up, that if you're passionate about something, you keep at it. And for students, that you give them a chance and another chance and another chance and another chance and like ad nauseum, because I think that also wins the day. It's like Rocky taking those punches over and over and over again. He kept getting back up, kept getting back up. I think that's like for educators, you know, it really discipline is about us, not about the kids. All we could do is focus on what we do and how we get back up every single time. And now, of course, I don't advocate to get punched like Rocky IV.
Sure.
This idea that we are stronger than our situation. And that's discipline to me. Knowing that regardless of your situation, you can be excellent. You could be strong. You can get back up over and over and over again. I think that's that discipline that we all need. And that's where we can help each other, like you're talking about, because sometimes you can get it back up on your own, but sometimes you need a helping hand. You know, pull you right back up. And sometimes we'll be that helping hand to others.
Yeah. Be the story, brother. Be the story. Be the story in your own life. Be the story for somebody else's life. It's my mantra. It just makes sense to me that teachers sometimes, I wonder that when they are vulnerable, when they're struggling, when they're having hard times, they're getting metaphorically, hopefully, punched. And there are some teachers who are physically getting punched. And they continue to show up. They continue to do the work. They become the story that their kids talk about, that their students talk about 10, 15 years later. They may not ever remember your name or come back and write you an email, but they're like, man, I had this teacher. She was just so kind and she kept showing up and I was so ruthless to her. And I have those teachers in my back of the brain, right? Where I just was unkind to them. But they were always kind to me. They kept showing up and they're part of my story.
Yep. I have those too. I tell you, it's a big difference. People, and that's one thing about educators here. As we wrap up, one big thing is, you know, you may not realize that you're making a difference, but you are, especially some of these kids that are struggling. You may think like, oh man, I keep trying and nothing's getting across to them. You don't see the fruits of your labor for a very long time. So, you know, we all expect this like immediate turnaround, but that's not really how life is. Life is slow and gradual, and there's a long game to this whole thing. So I think we have to be careful about that, but ultimately know that you are making a big difference and that down the road, these kids won't forget. And I say both ways though, they don't forget both ways. If you're cruel to a child, they'll never forget that either. But if you're kind to a child, they'll remember that for the rest of their lives and it does inspire them to be better.
I agree fully. That's awesome.
So my man, how can people find you? How do people find these videos? That's what I want to know.
Well, I post them on Twitter. I think my handle is Brian_Miller. I post them on Facebook. So if you want to follow me on Facebook, Brian T. Miller. Love to see you. Love to and really, man, interact with them too. Like I'm just kind of throwing out thoughts. If you want to disagree, you want to agree, you want to comment that I need more babies in the video, comment I need more babies. But those are my two major handles.
Nice. And you're doing this. You're still going to try to do this every day. Now we're really going to hold you accountable.
Right. Yeah. The goal is I told my wife for a year, I'm going to do it 6 days a week, at least for a year. And then we'll see what happens after that.
Yeah, man. I think it's the, what's that? Kaizen? It's Kaizen. I think it's Japanese, where it's the idea of getting better through very, very small steps every day.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. The better with very small baby steps, literally on your case, baby steps, because you had a baby in your video. Baby steps every day, you can get better. So I bet it'll be amazing to talk a year from now, because I bet your videos just will naturally get smoother and stronger as you go, because that's just how it works.
Yep, I agree. And that's for everything, right? For all of us and all things.
Yep. So appreciate you being on, my man.
Yeah, oh man, I am so thrilled to be here. I enjoy chatting with you and always learning and growing. And so hopefully we can actually hang out in the same room sometime.
Yeah, no doubt. So make sure you follow Brian on Twitter and social media, connect with him. I love this idea of, instead of trying not to be that story, like the negative story, instead try to be the story, and better yet, helping other people find their story. So remember to be your personal best, and don't forget to bring others along you with your own journey of discovery. There's nothing we can't accomplish together, just like the underdog Rocky in Rocky IV. Have a great week, everybody.
See you.